I would like to ask you to reflect on a question and just take a moment to think back. The premise of the question is this. Our country right now is, I think most of us would agree, the most divided that it has been in a long time. Okay, don't worry, this is not going to be a political homily. But the country is very, very divided right now. I want you to think back at the last time that the country was extremely united. And when would that have been? 9/11? I would agree. I would agree that 9/11 was the day that the country was most united in a long time. Another one that came, you know, but it was still not tremendously 100%. It was when bin Laden was killed. But I think 9/11 was the biggest. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is because today I want to take you somewhere. I want to take you to the final point of reflecting on the virtue of Catholicity. Now, you might not have ever heard the word Catholic used that way, but it's the virtue of being Catholic. Notice that I'm using the word Catholic. I'm using it not as the name of a sect of Christianity, because that's another issue. Catholicism is not a sect. But I'm using it as a virtue. And that means that as a virtue, like the virtue of patience or the virtue of prudence, you can grow or not grow in your Catholicity. So Catholicity, the virtue of being Catholic, is an actual practice that has to be part of our spiritual lives as Catholics, and not just a name that we use about which church we attend. That's where I want you to arrive. So how do we get there, and why am I talking about this? I asked you the question about being united because I want you to notice what it was that overcame all the different divisions that are current and will be and have been at different times present in our nation. And by the way, this is not just about the United States. It's present in every community. We just happen to be living here. What was it that overcame? Because notice, all of us, you have a very divided country right now, but then 9/11, back then, we were all brought together. And what was it that brought us together? Well, it was being attacked. But what I want you to notice is something that has been pointed out by a religious anthropologist, a person who studies the effect on humanity of different aspects of religion. He's still alive. His name is René Girard. And I want you to notice that what brought us together is having a common enemy. I mean, if you think about it, That whole process of overriding all the things that divide you from other people, a lot of times has to do with all of those things that we disagree on being overridden by something that brings us together against a common enemy. And then we sort of forget all the things that we have problems with each other, and we focus on the common enemy. That is a process that this religious anthropologist, his name is René Girard, has called unanimity minus one. It's an interesting name. Unanimity minus one. Now, how does unanimity minus one work? Because it's a principle that is directly opposed to being Catholic. And it's a temptation. It's a temptation. I'm going to describe it to you. Remember what the word Catholic means. The word Catholic, as I periodically remind you, comes from the two Greek words, kato, K-A-T-O, in Greek, which means for or concerning, and holos, H-O-L-O-S, which means the whole. That's where we get the word whole. You can hear the word holos in Greek and put the W in front, holos, you get the word whole. So, Catholicism, Catholic, comes from katholos. Now you put them together, K-A-T-O-H-O-L-O-S, concerning the whole. And it was two words that was used by the ancient Christians to say that we really were a reflection of the entirety of Jesus' message concerned with all people. Okay? That's why you hear the word Catholic and everybody say, oh yeah, it means universal. It does. It means concerning all people. Now, if you take kato and holos, concerning the whole, and you put them together, you get K-A-T-O-H-O-L-O-S. And you see, you know how here in Texas, you don't say, you all. You say, y'all. Okay? Y'all. Now, if you put katholos together, you get in your mind, if you can spell it in your mind, you get the O at kato and the holos are separated, the two words are separated by an H, which is normally silent. And so what happens is, if you take that H away, if you have two, then you have two O's next to each other, which you don't need, and you only need one, you get katholos. And that's where the word Catholic comes from. So the word Catholic means concerning the whole. Right? Now, what was the principle that I just mentioned? Unanimity, the whole, minus one. Minus one. Now, the one doesn't have to be a single person. It can be one group or one ethnicity or something. One something. But notice how it's opposed to being Catholic. Catholic means all. Sectarianism, which I'm going to use the word as opposed, means mine a piece, not the whole thing. Just a piece. And unanimity minus one is the one person that we dislike together makes us us. So, for example, when we were attacked by Islamic terrorists, there's your one. Now, granted, they're not one person, but it's one ideology. And so the unanimity minus one is It's us versus them. You see the difference. Sectarianism, to be a sect, gets its identity by what it rejects. You get your identity by what you reject. I find it very interesting and regrettable, but interesting, that our separated brothers and sisters are generally termed Protestants. They are protesters, and we are not them. Okay, so notice. Now, this might be, oh gosh, this is very ethereal, very up here. Really, it isn't. Think about this. Have you ever been sitting having a cup of coffee with somebody or having a meal with somebody? And you're sitting around talking, and you don't know, you're not too united yet. But all of a sudden, the both of you bring up something or someone that you both dislike. Right? And the moment that you can settle on what you both, or the person, or the thing that you both dislike, all of a sudden there's a newfound unity between you. And why is there a newfound unity? Because now you have unanimity minus one. Your union has been strengthened by what you both reject. And that's your bond. You and I, we are, for example, and if you think about this, think about how this applies everywhere. If you want to be one of the cool kids, what makes cool kids cool? People who are uncool. Right? You can't have cool unless you have uncool. Yeah, you got to have uncool in order to be cool. Okay? For example, if you get into a very ritzy club, what do we normally call it? Very exclusive. Why is it exclusive? And why do you feel so good about getting in? Because they're out and I'm in. Again, you see, what makes it exclusive? I'm in and you're not. And you could go on and on and on. I belong to, you know, this group. And everybody wants to belong to this group. Why? Because not everybody can get in. And because we know we are not you. We are we. Think about racism in America. Whites, why is there white privilege? Because we're not black. Why do blacks sometimes hate whites, whether there's reasoning or not? Because it's us against them. Why do nations fight each other? Because we find, and it can be a just reason. I'm not saying, I'm saying that sometimes you may have a just reason, like in 9/11, but you're getting a psychological benefit that is not necessarily healthy. Having a common enemy in terrorism is true, but being united by having a common enemy is got its benefits, but it's also not the healthiest way to be united, by hating other people. It's necessary, but not necessarily the healthiest way. And you can go on and on and on about our family is this and you're not that. Think of the groups in school. When you go to school, there are some kids who are in, some kids who are out. And you can go on and on and on with all the ways in which we gather together by making a conscious or unconscious agreement that our bond is based on who we are by defining ourselves by who is not part of us. That is what's called unanimity minus one. And that is the description of the organization of the world. That's what nations are. That's what, and I'm going to say it, I know I'm going to get heat, that's what sports is. Okay? Sports is an artificial battle so that we can be number one and you're not. Now, I'm not saying it's horrible. I'm just asking you to reflect on this dynamic, that it's how people are united. And by the way, in sports, people can get in fights over identifying with their sports team. Okay? I do it myself. I'm an Apple user. You all are PC. Okay? But it's a human dynamic that we tend to group and then identify who we are not and strengthen our unity by figuring out who we're not. Now, by now, you should be getting to the point of saying, and why in God's green earth is Father talking about this? Right? Because that's what the gospel and the Old Testament are doing. You didn't think I knew this. What's happening in the Old Testament? And there was good reason, but what's happening in the Old Testament? Did you notice that the Old Testament reading is all about anyone who has a mark on their face or anyone who has a mark anywhere in their body? They are to go and they are to be either declared clean or unclean. And when you are unclean, the very notion of being unclean and clean is already unanimity minus one. It's us, the clean, versus the unclean. Right? And so what happened to anyone who was unclean? By the way, being a leper wasn't the only thing that got you unclean. Women during menstruation were considered unclean. People who were not Jewish were unclean. Different pots and different things, even in Orthodox Judaism, are considered unclean. Okay? The whole concept of unclean is the whole concept of separateness. What happened with somebody in this case that was considered unclean? What was the leper to do? He was to live outside us, outside the community. He was separated. He was unclean, separated. And that happens throughout the whole concept of clean and unclean. That's why you have the washings and stuff like that. Clean and unclean. Now, I've established that. So what's happening in the gospel? What's happening in the gospel? For a Jew, he or she was clean as long as you did not pollute yourself by contaminating yourself with what was unclean. So you're not supposed to touch what is unclean, otherwise you will become unclean. What's happening? You see Jesus getting ready to put his hand on unclean. To put his hand on a leper, someone you're not supposed to touch, lest you become unclean. That's a very powerful image when you of the hand of Jesus reaching out to touch the face of the leper. When you realize that it's not just someone doing this, it's someone making a transition that you, the sick person who is considered to be an outsider, not part of us. I am touching you. Jesus is touching you. And he is saying to you, you are not apart from us. Because the virtue that Jesus brought into this world is called Catholicity. What is Catholicity? The refusal to live as a sectarian. The refusal to live by setting others away from who we are. And so Jesus takes his hand and by touching that man includes him. He says, yes, you are sick. You do need to be made clean. But that doesn't make you untouchable. That doesn't make you outside of us. You are part of us. That is the virtue of Catholicity overcoming sectarianism. Because remember what sectarianism is. Unanimity minus one. Divisions. Making sure that we know who we are by making sure we know who we're not. And the new way of identifying a group is no longer by excluding other people. It is now by including all in a relationship with God, our Father. We are now no longer a humanity that gets its identity from which tribe we belong to, which race we belong to, which religion we belong to, which ethnic or are we people of upper class or lower class, or look at all the ways there are to divide human beings. And what is the virtue of Catholicity? To be able to say, no, we're not divided like that. We're all sons and daughters of one Father. We're all brothers and sisters. And by reaching out and touching that man's face, Jesus is making that statement. He's making the statement, you are one of us. So, this virtue of Catholicity, this is not something you're going to overcome. It's something that you can become aware of. It's all you can do. I deal with it all the time. I catch myself constantly saying, I'm not, and I go, oh. And that doesn't mean, for example, let me give you the easiest one. I'm not one of those Islamic terrorists. Correct. However, that doesn't mean that I can gain my sense of self by saying they're not God's sons and daughters, because they are. And if in any way God can change them and help them to understand the evil that they are doing, as Jesus said, remember on the cross, Jesus did not even reject the people who were crucifying him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That is Catholicity coming from Jesus. He wasn't even willing to reject the people who were crucifying him. And so, as you live your daily life, all I'm asking you to do is to become aware And it's something that you have to grow in, to become aware of how you participate in exclusivity, which is the direct opposite of Catholicity. How many times do we get something so that other people don't have it? Or you walk around and you go to the Galleria and you get yourself some really expensive jeans or shoes. Why? Because you don't have it. And I do. It's a cheap grace. And it's the direct opposition to your religious identity. So, Catholicity versus exclusivity or sectarianism. We are called to grow, to do that, to make sure that whenever you see someone who's being called a leper, whatever that may be, whether in school or at work or in your social life, that that hand, that is Jesus, comes through your hand. And that you reach out and you say, yeah, what you have may be true. You may be really sick, but that you are still part of us. Don't cooperate on exclusivity. Bring it in. Doesn't mean to deny the problem, but it means that we don't use the problem as a way of telling ourselves who we are. That is the virtue of Catholicity. It's not just a name that you go to church on a Catholic church. It's a virtue that you have to grow in.